Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. I find myself in a privileged position to have such a fabulous co-host returning with us after his unscheduled absence yesterday. Will, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny. Thanks for the flattering introduction. Oh, boy. Yeah. Last night, get back on my computer and see this John Campbell scumbag laying into just Ken King, you know, a perfectly rational argument, I would have thought.
Ken Ring. That?
Ken Ring, sorry. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you think of that, Vinny? This guy makes the case for lunar cycles perhaps influencing tectonic plate movements. And it's pseudoscience, apparently, according to mainstream media, because they're just so smart.
Yeah, because mainstream media and science has never been wrong, obviously, and science obviously has never had an ego and has obviously never been bribed to discredit other people, which basically make their professions obsolete. Do they, Will?
Well, I would have thought that, you know, a 28-day lunar cycle and the fact that, you know, during one or two days of that cycle, the moon is at its closest point to the Earth, and it results in king tides and has this gravitational effect. I would have thought that is science, you know. That could be a contributing factor to tectonic movements. I don't know anything about, no, I'm no geologist or anything, but that's it. Once again, John Campbell just throws out, what's your qualification? What's your qualification? People are qualified by their works. People are qualified by their experience and the knowledge they accrue, you know. So what's John Campbell's qualification? That's what I'd like to know.
I've been a journalist for 20 years, and I still don't know 9/11's an inside job, even when I see the 45-degree perfect cuts on the columns.
Because George Bush is a moron. Yeah, yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, I know. It's just,
obviously, there's no such thing as state secrets inside the United States, is there? Mr. Frickin' Campbell. They've never kept anything a secret. They've never kept the Manhattan Project a secret. There's no such thing as black ops.
we got him to admit that they staged the Gulf of Tonkin, which resulted in 58,000 dead American troops in Vietnam. And he says, oh, that didn't mean they did 9/11, though. And we're like, no.
Just because they killed 58,000 Americans and did a war for like a whole 10 years and killed 3 million Vietnamese doesn't mean they'd kill 3,000 Americans and kill a million Iraqis. That's just illogical. We're comparing apples with oranges.
And then he just says, you overestimate them after seeing their historical capabilities. No, I think he overestimates his own intelligence, to be honest. And a lot of these suckers, I mean, they're just...
Yeah, exactly. That was my point, you know. I mean, this guy, Ken Ring, he may be able to predict earthquakes, but he wasn't able to predict John Campbell acting like a knob. But I could. I saw that one coming a mile off. I'm freaking clairvoyant. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio, and we'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on? I'm flying a JFK.
Welcome back.
My heart goes boom.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. And it's time to welcome back a regular to the show, a man who we love very much, especially his fashionable guns. It's Doc Bean from the Watchman.fm. Doc, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, it's always a fun pleasure when we have you on in so many ways. Now, I'd love to get your take about what's been happening since last we met, because, quite frankly, Doc, I'm a bit freaked out. I was just watching a documentary this morning from this dude, J.R. Moore, ex-Naval Intelligence or something along those lines, and apparently the U.S. Navy now reckons that New Madrid fault line is going to become a frickin' inland sea and split the U.S. in two. Have you heard about this?
You know what? I've heard a lot about the New Madrid fault line, but that's new news to me right there. I haven't caught that one yet, but I know they're, how do I put it? You can't get any Mountain House foods and things like that because, and for those folks that don't know, that's storable food because the government has bought it all up.
Bought it all up? Whoa. Are you serious?
Waiting list. Warehouse is empty. Millions of dollars worth of freeze-dried food and all of the stuff that preppers would normally be buying, you just can't get right now. There's backlogs, back orders. And I thought it was a hoax at first because, you know, the site's still up and everything else, but when you call in and try and order a sizable order, they backlog you for at least a couple of weeks.
Unbelievable. Hey, well, food shortages in America are coming, apparently. In fact, George Heminger, George for title at YouTube, in fact, he was nearly arrested the other day for filming empty shelves. Unbelievable. We're looking at the true full spectrum collapse of the United States. We've got the currency in the toilet. We've got the oil prices that are about to skyrocket, according to some sources, to $200 a barrel. And we've got the food supply running right out. So it's a very, very frightening state of affairs. And, you know, for the first time in a long time, I'm actually starting to feel a tad uneasy. And it's almost like my laugh function has disabled.
Well, one of the things that I've been telling folks is we've been talking for a very long time about the need to prepare. And it isn't just that the gas prices are spiking. The commodity market is also, how do I put it, it's the next Ponzi scheme. And the reason that people are making big money on commodities is there's been crop failures all across the U.S. And there's even rumors that there's been troop training for food riots this spring. And we're going to create the perfect storm for this upcoming elections. You've got about 31 states now that officially have what I would call austerity measures on the table here in America. Massive cuts in programs and things of that nature, coupled with the rising gas prices and the rising commodity prices. Just today, I shopped just today, and there was at least, in average everyday items, across the board, everything from canned goods to dairy was about 35 to 40 cents more than it was last week, just last week. And that's the kind of increases you're going to see incrementally over time for the next couple of months. Now, the fuel prices aren't going to actually affect food prices for another month. And then that's when things start to get scary. And that's when America may start to look like Libya, when folks can't afford to feed their kids anymore.
Yeah, I'd probably say that's true. There's, in fact, articles coming out stating exactly that, that domestic unrest is coming to the United States. But conveniently, the cops have excruciating laser pain guns to use on the crowds. So it's all good.
I mean, I want to wade in here. I mean, hey, Doc, as well. Given the opportunity, what would you do? You know, here we are, this far down the river. What would you do to take it back? I mean, if you were given the reins, what sort of policy would you implement, or what sort of policy would you remove to take America back?
Well, unfortunately, here in America, we've now reached a point where there's no easy solution. And I've been telling folks for a while that while these austerity measures that are coming are going to be unpopular, they have to happen. And what I've said to my audience is we have to put people in office that are willing to tell you the truth. And that truth is going to sound something like this. You've got to close the borders in America. You've got to eliminate immigration completely. You've got to impose tariffs on all goods imported to America from countries that use slave labor or child labor and don't have safe working conditions so that Americans can go back to work. You've got to cut entitlement spending, and what that means is that families are going to have to get recreated in America. You're going to have to decide that dad wasn't so bad, and families are going to have to live together again, and people are going to have to decide that we're going to be in for 10 years of some really tough rebuilding. There's going to be hard times, and there's going to be riots. And the thing that people need to remember is that the folks that are going to riot are the ones that have been getting this free ride here in America for the last 25 years and think that everything's a right. Their house is a right. Their food is a right. A job is a right. None of those things are rights. Those things are privileges, things that you work hard to attain. And that's what we have to get back to in America. There is no easy fix, and there is going to be some big problems here.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about here, is basically when your society reaches a point where apathy, ignorance of reality, and, total complacency is rife, you have the perfect formula for an enslavement mechanism to take control. And essentially, that's what's really happened, is the banking system in America has become its enslavement mechanism. And I think it's very strange and quite horrible, quite frankly, you know, because I don't got nothing against America or Americans, but for F's sake, some of the Americans that come here to New Zealand, you try to start up a conversation about with them, and they are so arrogant that it is unfreaking believable. Oh, you don't know crap about George W. Bush. I'm from Boston.
Yes, that is a problem here in America. Well, you know, I got to tell you, the way that the elites... And listen, folks call them the elites. So I'm going to call them what they are, okay? What we are facing right now is global Marxism. It's final march to victory. And it creates a permanent separation of the elites from the rest of us. They become the ruling class over the working class. And what we've got here in America is this instilling of elitism in the average person. When you instill elitism in the average person, when they get this I'm better than you attitude because I've got cooler clothes or I've got the coolest hairdo or whatever, and they don't have any pride in the skills or they haven't learned any skills, they just believe that they're better than the next person. That allows them then to create factions of groups whose ideas of who or what is better creates small groups that are easily managed or even pitted against each other. And we're seeing that here in America, not just with Republicans and Democrats. We're seeing it with the environmental movement and those that are against them. You're seeing it even within the Patriot movement, as it's called. militias that don't want to get along and things like, because they all have the right idea. And what I've tried to do is get outside the ideas, because we've got an agenda now that you can see, at least in America, you can see it. The boots are on the ground. The people have stated their positions and what they're going to do. And you can now oppose the agenda without having to pick your favorite identity for whatever you want to call whatever the grand conspiracy is. And I'm trying to unite people behind that idea of, look, we have boots on the ground opposing us now, so we can now put boots on the ground opposing them and their agenda. And I think that that's the way to go. It's the only way around elitism, and really that is their greatest weapon against us all.
Now, you may be literally correct when it comes to boots on the ground. I'm looking at a picture here right now that our somewhat fabulous producer posted on the Vinny Eastwood Show Facebook group. It is a Mack truck with a flatbed carrying three UN vehicles. This was taken in America yesterday.
Well, you know, the UN building is here, so... and like I said, they're expecting food riots. There's rumors that President Obama has asked for some outside help for possible security problems that may happen here. Whether it happens this spring over food or whether it happens over the budget cuts that are coming, and that's another argument that people are having. I see it more as, if you look at the populist revolutions that ended up with an oligarchy such as China or Russia in the aftermath of it, well, what was done every time was there were conditions that were created, shortages, there was job crisis, there was finance crisis, money crisis, and through these crises, these despots then used the crisis to foment populist revolution. And they call it populist revolution, but in those cases it was communist revolution. And if this country is ripe for that. America is ripe for that. The political climate with the unions in America taking on the communist platform and then the communists now endorsing them as saying that they are in full alignment with their agenda, you can start to see that there's a force here now in America that can be used as shock troops. Obama is using military training for his community organizing, and that was in the L.A. Times. And, you know, that's a liberal paper, and they were wondering if he was going to have his own flag, his own salute, and his own uniform for the unions and his community organizers. And what they said was direct action and confrontation is what they plan for this upcoming election season. You can take that as you will. I take it to mean violence.
Yeah, I mean, the elite want a violent revolution, don't they? It's because of the fact that it's the only way that they can justify having a total police state.
And Will, you wanted to add something?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you talked about the classism and how they use that to divide and conquer, and how some people think because they have these trappings, cars and clothes and everything else, that they're better than the next man. If you look at the societies where you see the ultimate condensation of that, like, say, in India with their caste system and over 20 levels and you can only marry into a certain caste, you see that along lesser lines. I mean, I grew up in England the first 10 years of my life and not in the richest part of town either, and then we sort of moved into a wealthier part of town, which is still kind of middle-class scum if you look in the big picture. But you could see the divisions, who drives a Jaguar, who plays rugby union, who plays league, who plays football, you know, what they wear, how they speak even. In New Zealand, you can't see it so much because it's a younger country, hasn't developed. But America's developed this now, haven't they? I mean, America has developed this sort of classism where people who are all pretty much, we're all pretty much bottom feeders here in the larger system, we feel like we're better than each other.
But people here in America are willing to fight over what street they live on. you gotta understand, right? Yeah, things have deteriorated here so badly that now people will kill each other over what street they live on. You're no good because you live on 19th Street. And we have, I mean, it's really that bad here. And
but then they call you crazy for saying America for Americans. They say that's kind of xenophobic, but they're kind of, you know, streetophobic, you know, like they're so into their hood, but they disrespect you for being into your country.
Oh, and here's the thing, patriotism in America, that's the one thing here in America that nobody has anymore. And when I say, and I don't mean that in a bad way, like nobody's a patriot. You see hundreds of American flags, and you'll see people that, you know, will wave them at different rallies and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is that in America, especially our youth, they've been taught that they're all from somewhere else. That all of their belongingness is to somewhere else. Africans to Africa, Irish to Ireland, so on and so forth. And they're taught this in school so that nobody's really American, so that the forces that want to tear America down, that would require all of these people to understand that they're American first, that they do have a heritage here, and that this nation does have principles that it was founded on, and that was freedom, liberty, and the ability to pursue your dreams or your destiny, depending on how hard you were willing to work for it. Some folks might say that has gone away a bit here in America because of the large banks and corporations, and I'm not going to disagree with them, but those are the founding fundamentals of this nation, and in order, and those are exactly contrary to what a Marxist ruler needs in a nation. You can't have the idea that pursuing your destiny and the freedom to do so as a credo of a nation and then have that nation be enslaved, because it's the antithesis of each other. And we need to get back to that in America. People need to stop waving other flags of other nations and that have never been there, that don't even know one of their relatives that are from there, but yet give their allegiance away to something they've never known, and to the detriment of a nation that is slowly crumbling because of a lack of the true patriotism that comes from embracing what made this country great. And I really believe we must get back to that.
Well, what's happened here is social engineering has sort of wiped that spirit out. And I was kind of thinking to myself, well, hold on a second. How do cultural ideologies maintain their own survival? And it occurred to me, use the example of, say, the Muslim faith. Now, Muslim faith, they pray, what was it, 3, 4, 5 times a day or something along those lines, so that it's this repetitious daily schedule where it is almost impossible to forget what your beliefs and faith is in your country or your people or your religion or whatever, because of the fact that it's so reinforced so regularly, and it has been eroded from the United States, eroded from New Zealand, any semblance or form of freedom or liberty or thinking or health for that matter. But conveniently, we're starting to inject the antimatter vaccine into people's brain pans here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest is Doc Bean, and we'll be right back after the break. The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. Our very special guest joining us from the Soviet Republic of America is Doc Bain. Doc, welcome back.
Thank you very much, and we are pretty close to being able to call this the USSR. And it's always a pleasure to be with you guys.
Yeah, especially with our Lord and Savior Barack H. O'Barry at the helm. I mean, jeepers creepers, where would we be without him?
Boy, I'll tell you, I don't think we'd be in quite as bad a shape as we are now. But you know, we may, from the rhetoric coming from him and his community organizers. They're talking about him being our ruler for many, many years to come. Many, many years is what they said. Now, I thought you could only run for two terms, so I want to know how you get to be leader here for many, many years. And decades to come is according to how the end of that article went and the end of the statements from MoveOn.org went. I want to know how that happens without... thus losing our Constitution and somebody sitting in a very high place of power where only he rules. So, I'm confused on that myself.
Well, you know, I mean, it's, I suppose one of the things that we really have to kind of bring forth in the mind, so to speak, is the concept of how powerful the individual really can be and how pathetic and pathetic... useless collectivism it really is, you know? I mean, there's an element of collectivism that I see as somewhat beneficial, you know, taking care of people, this, that, and the other, but the fact of the matter is it wipes away individuality, and the only reason why humanity has people like Nikola Tesla or Ernest Rutherford or whatever is because of individuality, you know, individual thought processes, people going off on their own and figuring stuff out in the vacuum or whatever. They're capable of some amazing things, and yet collectivists like to step in and say, we can't have any of that. What we have to do is make everybody the same and equal suffrage.
If an individual claims their worth, their intellect, and pushes themselves, they're an enemy to a collectivist power, you know, to a collectivist power control mechanism that there has to be in place, regardless of their arguments. Oh, there'll be no government, it'll just be this perfect state, and we'll go off and hold hands around Karl Marx statues. I mean, it's just kind of like the idea that a government is more trustworthy than individuals. When if you go and survey most people in the street and you say, well, who would you trust? You know, do you have more faith in the average person or the average government? The average person is good. Good intentioned.
And you got that exactly right. Yeah, you got it exactly right. They don't trust the people. In fact, that's their whole premise. Their whole premise here is that you're not trustworthy enough. You're not caring enough. And that's why they have to take everything for the benefit of everybody else. And you're also correct when you say that as a purist ideology, speaking as a purist and not without politics or the power-hungry individuals involved, as an idea, of course it's compassionate. And of course it sounds on the surface like it would be great. But we've seen it in action, and its reality has turned into the most brutal, murderous forms of government that this planet has ever seen. And some folks might debate me on the last 20 years or so, but when you have corporatist fascism going on here in America and actual fascism with a communist social justice system going on in China, the water gets a bit muddied there a little bit when you're talking about ideologies.
Well, I'll say why it's muddy. Here's my two cents. I mean, it's muddy because we've got this unseen, by the majority of people, hand at work, that even if you were to have a collectivist system that actually worked, or a capitalist system, a free market system that worked, we've got these cabals that, as long as people don't see them, they will continue to mess up any system that could possibly work on paper.
Yeah, and we've got these limp-wristed media hacks like Johnny Campbell here in New Zealand. and me and Will's opinion is basically one of the worst, most pathetic scumbags you've ever seen. And, you know, if you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and you cruise down the page a bit, you'll be able to see me and Will ambushing this filth on 9/11 a couple of years ago. And, you know, his excuse was, oh, well, 9/11 couldn't have been an inside job, you know, as because the US government is incapable of keeping things secret and George Bush was a moron. Therefore, 9/11 was not an inside job. Now... And let me finish.
You know, I've heard a lot of better defenses than that, right? And I've seen so many different variations of what could or couldn't have happened at 9/11. And we've come so far since then that I've kind of stopped talking about 9/11 because we've got something on the horizon that it concerns us all. It concerns you there in New Zealand. It concerns us here in the United States. It concerns Canadians. It concerns the EU. And the EU has thrown all its finances behind them. And that is this creation of the World Environment Organization at Rio Plus 20 that's coming up here May 2012. It's May 14th through the 16th, where all the nations, including our own here in America, have already given a commitment that they will come away from there with a governing body that controls all resources on the globe. And that means that it's going to require each and every one of us in our individual countries to do one thing, and that's to take back control of our governments. Because if we don't, then we're all going to lose by fiat. And that's the point we need to drive home, is that this cooperation idea, this idea, there's this big idea about how bipartisanship is a problem now. We sent some congressmen to office this last election that are actually doing what we asked them to do. And now we're getting people screaming that all there is bipartisanship. Well, compromise means they slowly move forward. And that's all they need to do, is slowly move towards this giving away of control of everything. It's forests, it's natural resources, it's land. Everything will go to a refinanced, renamed UNEP that will be the World Environment Organization, and they will decide how land is used, how energy is used. And I hate to tell you, folks, but that means all your individual freedoms, whatever your countries guarantee you, wherever you are, will be subject to these people's edicts on what is good for the environment.
Well, and what these people talk about is they talk about science, right? And, you know, and this is a discussion, in fact, we're having right now a little bit about science itself, right? And how exactly it can be corrupted or how reliable really is it? Because, you know, if you throw out the opportunities of, say, pharmaceutical companies and whatnot, fudging all their reports to say that the pills are good for you, when in actual fact they'll just make you kill yourself and various things like that. And we still have people that are foolish enough to believe that science can be trusted in all single cases. You know, it is absolutely...
They believe they have a... It's not just that science can be trusted, that's dangerous enough, but these guys then go on and say that we have a monopoly over science because we come from certain universities and we have XYZ credentials, when who issues the credentials are the same people behind the so-called scientific method. Most of these scientists and evolutionists don't even know the Baconian method, and look up what Francis Bacon was into. And you understand that science is just the application of a lot of occult wisdom. And that's all of this. And then if you get to the higher levels of it, so John Campbell and these guys go, oh, we're in the scientist side. We're all with the empirical facts. And then you go into the UN and it's Benjamin Krem and talking about Maitreya and these Antichrist figures coming up and meeting with aliens and it's all this wacky stuff because that's really what their science is.
You got that right. The mystery schools were all about preserving the mystic traditions. And, you know, what the craziest part of all of it is the fact that the Nazis believed in occult wisdom in combination with science. And that was how they came up with all their ideas for the quote-unquote wonder weapons. But, you know, they ended up with the V-2 bomb, the first jet. And there's even some indications of possible Nazi Bell, the Nazi Bell. I know they found plans for that. So they had some fantastical ideas all around the idea of combining occult knowledge in a mechanical sort of way, not a religious sort of way, to engineering. And, you know, at that time, they were the cutting edge in the world. So I would have to agree with you on that. And the idea about them just faking data, well, you know, they have an agenda. And this is what I tell folks, right? All you have to do is read the Communist Manifesto. Read what the goal of communism was. Read what, if you're into the mystery schools, and a lot of you folks know I studied that for about 20 years, you'll understand that the order that they talk about wanting to bring is a communist order for the world. They use the C word, communist, in it. And there's several other folks that are in agreement with me, from Bill Cooper, who's no longer with us, to Ralph Epperson, who say the same thing. And they want a godless world with no rules, and where the elite are permanently separated from the workers, and where they give the workers part and parcel to what they feel they should have. And it's interesting that everything you see today now is about, how do I put it? It is about, you're not allowed to have your own ideas anymore. You have to get consensus to have an idea. You have to get consensus to move forward on anything. And that's how they squelch dissent, and that's how they squelch individual achievement, because even if you're right, if the rest of the group disagrees with you, then your right answer goes away, and you do it the wrong way simply because consensus told you to. And that's how they're teaching people
because
now.
Because they work in the public good. Because they work in the public good.
It's like, trust us, we've got qualifications. I had to repeat myself thousands of times on pieces of paper that pathetic, pompous, limp-wristed lecturers gave me to write down on. Therefore, you can't have an opinion because, look,
hey, Vinny,
I've got this piece of paper.
Hey, Benny, I'm going to have to tax you for stealing my terms. No, seriously, though,
we were talking
these guys, like,
about the
it just gets me.
And we just love it.
it just gets me, though. It just gets me now. Well, so many mainstream suckers, they believe in the official versions of science and logic and reason, but then the pinnacle of officialdom is more crazy than they could ever accuse us of being. They believe in Godhead, demon deities that they're summoning down from Pleiades and using to rule us, and they believe in the craziest stuff going. All I'm saying is I believe in creation, and they're like, you know, that's not science, that's not Francis Bacon, you know, and you can't disagree with Francis Bacon. It's just mental. It's absolutely mental. If the average person had just a glimpse of what these guys really believe in, then their attention would be diverted elsewhere.
Well,
sadly,
it's so fantastical.
Look at women's magazines.
Yeah, it's so far beyond the realm of what a normal person thinks about, that when you try to present those ideas to them, instantly you're either nuts or they just want to close off and go away.
And that's
part of the reason why I've steered folks more towards the agenda that's facing them now. And what it is that they're going to lose.
Doc, I just want to add, you know, the whole caste system and judging people based upon their trappings and material assets and so on. If, you know, if I judge people, and I know it's kind of wrong, but I kind of do, and we all have to survive in this broken world. I judge people along those sorts of lines, whether they can think outside the box. I don't care if they're rich, poor, black, white, young, old. I think they're scum if they can't even confront their own existence.
I would have to agree.
That's really where I stand.
I would have to agree. And the thing, we're running out of time so fast. Things are ramping up so fast. It's what I keep telling folks, that if you haven't gotten prepared now, because we're going to see chaos here.
Yeah, we absolutely are going to see a little bit of chaos. It's Doc Bean, ladies and gentlemen, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Final segment with Doc Bean, I'm sorry to say. Hey, but, you know, look, if the world's going to end, And, you know, a lot of people are now saying that it is, you know, or at least there's some description of mad earthquake, cataclysm, tsunami. And apparently NASA has discovered a 10th planet, which they've nicknamed Xena. Incidentally, the name of a character my cousin Lucy Lawless played on television, that is heading our way and apparently goes around every 3,600 years. Now, I would never list NASA as the ultimate in credibility because, after all, NASA stands for Never a Straight Answer. Doc, welcome back.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Thank you. And it's always a pleasure, man.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, one thing that I wanted to kind of get your take on is that, is there an antithesis to Marxism? I mean, like, let's say somebody's, what kind of things, examples can we throw out there that a Marxist would actually listen to and go, whoops, uh-oh, maybe I best rethink this? Or is that just not possible with a Marxist because there's no thought in the first place?
Well, here's the thing. You can't convert them. The only thing you can do is point out to people that their philosophy is a religion to them, and I think that Bill Cooper said it best when he said that the socialists have weighed in on the topic themselves, and they are an anti-Christian. In other words, they believe that to be a socialist means you cannot be a Christian, and you cannot be other things. And to weigh in on a certain religion and why they couldn't be that means that they themselves, their philosophy, takes on the features of a religion. And that religion, of course, is humanism. And they believe, of course, in the ultimate achievement of man, which is could be to travel the stars, could be to live forever, whatever they deem to be the ultimate happiness for mankind. And if that comes at the expense of freedom or liberty or anything else, then that's where they're going. So they have an agenda. It's apolitical. It's outside political parties, although they do align themselves here with a particular party in America, and with a bunch of neocons as well, and to forward their agenda. So you have to tell people, look at Marxism as a governing style in the world, what it's done to its own people, what it does to this day to its own people. Slavery is part and parcel to the system. Everyone is chattel in that system, and you're a commodity. You're a lug nut on a tire, if that's what they deem you to be. If that's what your test scores say, that's the best school you'll go to, is how to be the best lug nut. So you've got to tell people that going to the voting booth and deciding to vote in favor of somebody who supports this ideology means you're voting for your enslavement. To not prepare to battle them eventually, because the one thing that they have never done is just give up when people decide they don't want their system. And so here in America, what I would tell folks is convince the free people you can, those people in the middle that don't have a political agenda yet, that just vote on their feelings, convince those people that there is an agenda to oppose and that they must align themselves to it, if not for themselves, than for their children's future, because that's really what we're talking about here. Will your children be slaves, or will they be free? And that requires a decision from you once you've decided on that issue.
Well, I mean, you summed up Marxism so well, and then, you know, the crazy layer above that is, and I challenge people to look into this, if you well, there's actually a few ways of evidencing it, but Leon Trotsky and Karl Marx were Masons. And so they do believe in God. And this is the craziest AA God. This is the craziest thing, though, isn't it? Because all their followers have to be atheists, and all these socialists, you see, are always atheists, and they always hate what they see as Christian America, Christian capitalist evil America, as it's been demonized, you know, as it's been run amok by all these socialists.
What's interesting is being illuminated to them, right? Being illuminated is God to them. To a vast portion of the secret societies, it is science and information that is their God, and the striving for the ability to be as God. And it kind of brings everything back to the garden, where ye can be as gods is the quote-unquote fall of man. Well, they believe their knowledge, this is the humanist faction that is part of the Luciferian conspiracy, that doesn't believe in a God other than man's ability to be that God. There is the faction that does believe in communing with, believe it or not, hearing voices in their head and thinking that it's ascended beings helping them. But those two, I don't know how those two groups work together, but they do. And the information they get, they consider that their illumination. And folks can roll their eyes at that if they like, but that really is the truth. If you look into it, you will find that they either worship science or they worship the knowledge they receive through channeling. And that right there should put you at odds with these individuals just on that alone.
And that's why they wield their power over us, and we're all on these sick power trips, and people are all frustrated with them, because that's the big secret.
Indeed. Thanks so much, Doc, for coming you on. It's always a pleasure, never a chore.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you, Doc.
Awesome.
All right, Doc Bean, ladies and gentlemen, you can check out his radio show, Hardtail News, at www.thewatchman.fm. There's also a banner to that on the main page of the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Coming up next hour, we're attempting to coax one of our one of our detractors onto the show for a robust discussion. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. I'm your host, Vinnie Eastwood, and with me as always my somewhat doom and gloom co-host Will. I joke. I like you. But the what we've been doing here in the background, ladies and gentlemen, we've been having a conversation with a guy named Shannon Phipps from KFM, where I had an interview on a couple of Saturdays ago. Good dude, you know, as far as I know. You know, nice to sit around and have a conversation with, amusements and whatnot. And he's a good friend of Jeff down at our affiliate station, Rush FM, down in Hamilton. And hopefully we may be able to actually bring him on for a little bit of a debate, because we've been talking about the recent outbursts of Johnny Campbell, me and Will's favourite 20-year experienced journalist in this country. Basically just going absolutely ape at a dude named Ken Ring, who's trying to predict earthquakes and weather by looking at celestial movements. For example, he predicted the Christchurch quake. And the reason he was able to predict this, allegedly, according to him, is that Jupiter and Saturn had lined up on either side of the Earth, and it had created some sort of, gravitational barrier field or something along those lines, and made earthquakes a lot more possible.
The problem is, though, my gripe is not in the specific details, is, you know, the earthquake was probably caused by HAARP. But how would John Campbell deal with that if he can't even deal with the moon having an influence on planet Earth? It's over our heads every night. Anyway, the point is, people can't open their paradigms up. People are so closed-minded. I don't believe that reptoids run the planet. But does it bother me that people talk about reptoids? Not really. If I had a private website and they were flooding it with it, I might delete some of it. Yeah, because I think there's more pressing matters. But you should never be angry about an opinion that doesn't really have a direct effect on you. What you should be angry about is people who have opinions that empower those who enslave us. And so we have the right to be angry at the John Campbells of the world, because they're covering up for criminals and mass murderers, because they've got blood on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
And because they haven't chosen a path and gone, okay, I'm doing the wrong thing here, now I'm going to do something right for humanity. You know, me and Vinny ultimately are just trying to do what's good, what we think is the right thing. Sometimes we get it wrong.
Yeah, but when we get it wrong, hundreds of thousands of people don't die as a result. You know, that's the difference between somebody just discussing a subject and somebody having an enormous vested interest.
And these guys come with this huge amount of baggage they take from the zombie matrix world, and they come and start listening to this for the first time. And this is not an insult, Shannon, but this is what happens. And you haven't got a lot of information in between the gaps, and you hear what we're saying, and it's the other end of the spectrum, and you just go, well, get out of here, you're crazy, you're tinfoil hat wearing, whatever. And I just want you to come on the show and say, document point by point where I'm going wrong, and then I'll either adjust my opinions or I'll tell you to get out of here because I've got some facts contrary to yours. You know, but it's the debate of ideas. It's the competition of ideas. That's true free market also. This is why I'm for free market. The competition of ideas, and the best ones rise to the top, and then we run a society in the best way we possibly can. It's not perfect. Otherwise, we just end up with a bunch of despots, and that's what we have. Because we don't have a pure competition of ideas. We're told not to talk about certain things. We keep getting told to shut up.
Yeah, well, in what society is an idea freely expressed a danger? You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us on Facebook. We'll be right back after the break.
Black sunrise, black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back to the truly hardcore. The truly hardcore 2 hours in New Zealand talk radio. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Some of you tuning in for the first time ever may get offended at what we say. Some of you tuning in for the first time ever may think, like many of the commenters that we have, thank God there's somebody in this country actually talking about the truth. Welcome
okay,
back.
Yeah. They are going to be offended in this next segment. This is a warning, yeah, because I'm about to blow my top here.
Watch out, ladies and gentlemen, when you're at least 100-foot radius. If you are in Will's suburb on Waiheke Island right now, be prepared for a big cloud of dust and controlled demolition. Go ahead, Will.
Okay, this is from the Sunday Star Times here in Auckland, New Zealand. 20th of February, just the other week, the letter of the week. It's entitled, The Poor Have Chosen Their Lot. Now, I'm going to read a bit, then I'm going to annotate the rest, and I'm going to get stuck into this son of a bitch. His name's Paul McLeod. Yes, Paul McLeod, and he's in Hamilton, and this will be broadcast later on today, hopefully, Paul. And I don't care if you want to take me, because you deserve it. Here he goes. Being poor in New Zealand is a lifestyle choice for many. It was their choice to shun education opportunities, to rely on taxpayer-funded benefits, to have more babies than they could feed, clothe, house, educate, or keep healthy. It was their choice to spend what little income they had on cigarettes, booze, drugs, gambling, and unhealthy fast food. And it was their choice to let the weeds take over their properties and not keep a vegetable garden and fruit trees. Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. Now, half of what he says, you know, there is some validity to it. There is some choice in this world, and some people make the wrong choices. But everything he said there, everything that goes against wholesomeness, is promoted by our government. The gambling, the booze, the drugs, is promoted by the pop culture, the government. It's just our society. It's sick. There's no counter culture to reverse that. You can't just blame individuals who are born into that trap. You can to a certain extent. Okay, it goes on. In reference to a vegetable garden, they tell us to have 5+ a day and they feed us GMO, pesticide-ridden garbage and destroy people's intellect that way also. I mean, the government has responsibility over this. They're meant to regulate food and drink. If you start a business, there's all number of regulations on you, and they just say aspartame can come in the country, and then they ban sugar drinks in school and make them drink aspartame drinks in school. Is that the poor person's fault, Paul McLeod? But you don't know about aspartame because you're just one of those half-educated shills who thinks you've got it all worked out, aren't you? Carries on. It was their choice to borrow money to buy consumer goods they did not need, let alone afford. But the government doesn't borrow money to buy things they can't afford. The government doesn't take money from French banks. Oh, no, they don't do $400 million a week, Paul. But you can complain about a couple million here and there from benefits. Don't worry about the billions of dollars of debt and foreign debt. Oh, no. We continue on. Everyone has the ability to save. What some people lack is the incentive to take responsibility for preparing to provide for themselves from an early age. They are being brainwashed into believing that the reason they are going to be poor for the rest of their lives is someone else's fault. So he's saying poor people can't blame anyone else. It's their fault and their fault only. Obviously, Paul McLeod, the master of education, Almighty One, you know nothing about fractional reserve banking. You know nothing about the fiat currencies we have peddled across this planet, bar five countries. You know nothing about the Rothschilds or the Bayer family. You know nothing about the Merovingian bloodline. You know nothing. You're a turd. You're an absolute piece of crap. You don't understand that the banking system has, by default, losers built into it. It's like a system of musical chairs. And if they weren't the losers, those brown people you're referring to, obviously, if they weren't the losers, it would be you, because you're a dumbass, frankly. And you should be happy that they're more stupid than you in certain ways, because otherwise it would be you on the side of the curb. So thank your lucky stars that someone else has had the ops run on them to a greater effect by the government than they have on you and your pathetic little brain. Being brainwashed into believing that they're going to be poor for someone else. Of course, for other people to have trillions, a lot of other people have got to have nothing. Of course, there's a finite amount of money.
Don't you just love it, Will, when people accuse others of being brainwashed, whereas they will never acknowledge even a possibility that they're brainwashed in any way, shape, or form? It's like a total double standard. And we're living in a society, in my opinion, where absolutely everybody, and I include myself and everybody else in this blanket statement, everybody's brainwashed in some way, shape, or form. And I pray for the day when we have credible media and we have honest politicians and all of that. But that's a freaking pipe dream. I mean, in my opinion, you know, you got to just basically do it yourself. That's why I went out with a camera a couple of years ago, started filming all these protests and things like that, because nobody was freaking doing it. And this guy right here is a prime example, Will, if I may, of what's really wrong with this country. They point outwards. They use their finger and they don't point it at themselves. They point it outwards because they're too afraid to admit the possibility of their own inadequacy for fear of not being confident in their own stupidity anymore.
Exactly. Exactly, Paul McLeod. I'm not just ripping into you. No, I, William Ryan... I'm inadequate. I'm inadequate. Yeah, I'm trash too. Yeah, I can't do what I want to do with my hands and feet here. Oh, you bet. I'm frustrated how inadequate I am. But at least I can admit it, and at least I try and better myself. At least I don't just stay in my own little circular arguments blaming those dull bludgers because it makes me feel like I'm better somehow. And that's the psychological condition you're in that manifests itself in this pathetic little letter here, and I'll continue on. Teaching young people personal responsibility would solve our own problems, our problems. If you are poor in New Zealand, it is mostly your own fault. Once again, nothing to do with the huge indebtedness, nothing to do with $40,000 in every baby's head here. That doesn't matter. If you're born into debt in a supposedly sovereign country, that doesn't matter. What happens when the baby boomers demand their rights in retirement and withdraw their support of this indolent group? So basically, this guy's summary of the economy is that the bludgers, the people who just, you know, take a benefit, are the bane of the system. Paul, do you understand that the more social welfare spending there is in any country, the more health spending, the more of that education you value so much, the more of that commie education you love so much that is pumped out into our country, the more foreign debt we have. Because who pays for that infrastructure? The government doesn't get its money from taxation, you fool. Taxation goes to help pay not even the principal on the loans they take from foreign banks, from the Japanese, from the Europeans. Can't name them, might be called anti-Semitic. Why don't these people learn something about the economy, about the geopolitical nature of the world, before they start thumping out rash comments about people? And I'll thump out rash comments about you, Paul McLeod, and you can come on the show, or you can call a lawyer today. But I'm making an example of you because there's about a million people in this country who think like you, and you are the bane of the society, and you're the reason why that other scumbag, John Key, gets in, and the reason why the likes of Helen Clark gets in. I mean... you're it. You've chosen your lot, and you're choosing my lot too, and that's what gives me the right to go nuts at you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a
total, I'm just telling you what I think.
If you're a total Nazi, the best idea is to call your opponents Nazis, because hey, then you'll just shift the blame off of yourself onto somebody else. And that's what these people are really into, isn't it, Will? They want the blame to be on everyone else. They don't take any frickin' personal responsibility for the safety or the security or the sovereignty of their country. They only take personal responsibility over their own families, or in most cases, not even that. If people were taking responsibility of their families, we wouldn't have so many scum in our current society, because their parents would have disciplined them in some way, shape, or form. They wouldn't live in houses with crap falling out of the walls and one coffee cup in the frickin' cupboard that's unclean and things of that nature. We have that kind of thing going on all over the place.
This collectivist country of bureaucracy doesn't give me the choice to be as responsible for myself as I want to be. I can't go out. No one can just go out and pick up a gun and go and shoot a pig tonight, you know, without the government coming in with some regulation. I can't go and fend for myself. I can't go and do what I want to do without someone, without some little bureaucrat stooge who you empower, Paul McLeod, getting in my face about it. Yeah? You can't. You want to have a veggie garden when they're spraying chemtrails over it? I mean, you don't understand the way that the power tends. And these people just don't. I mean, talking to him like he's right there. I hope he is. But, I mean, just there are millions of people like this, and it's just really, really sad that they put themselves on a pedestal above millions of hard-done-by people. Yeah, and then they just throw out the judgment and make excuses for the establishment and saying no poor person can blame anyone else because the bankers are just Puritans. And it's sick. And it's sick. It's sick, man. It's worse than murder. It's worse than if you come out and said, I'm a neo-Nazi and this is why I hate black people. It's worse than that. At least they can have some rationale for their arguments. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not validating that, but at least they can have an argument. This guy is just so pathetic. And I've got an uncle like this. Absolute idiot. Absolute idiot. And they throw judgment at me. It's just like, no. This isn't about individuals here. This is not about egos. This is about what's better for the wholesomeness of this planet and its inhabitants.
Well, you know, and you bring up an interesting point there, Will, about wholesomeness. And, you know, it's like morals and ethic. Have we even got any anymore? You know, what the hell, man? Seriously. In Christchurch, they discovered that they suddenly had morals and ethic because there was an enormous freaking disaster. And all of a sudden, all the neighbours met each other. They had never met each other before, because when you move into a freaking suburb in this day and age, you don't give a flying F about your neighbours. You just want to stay at home behind your four walls. You don't want your kids to play with the kids across the road or anything along those lines. And even if you did, you know, you'd be too chicken Shiite Muslim to go out and actually encourage them to do this, you know. And this is the real problem, is that we have this, this social lacking of socialization, essentially, but on a local scale at the very least. And this is what I think drives strong community spirit, is strong community socializing. Waiheke Island, for example, is a perfect place when it comes to local issues, because all the locals know each other, all the locals hang out with each other, etc., etc. But it doesn't mean that there aren't fights and bad stuff going on all the time.
Same fights as anywhere else.
Exactly.
Same fights as anywhere else.
Because and we're talking about a small community that's relatively well connected simply because of its size, but still the same rule applies. People aren't acting together in suburban community kind of fashion.
You know why?
Everybody sit at home watching a goddamn TV, that's why.
Because our sickening culture is being set by outside interests and by people who are even internal interests who get all their morals from outside interests, so-called morals. I mean, look, he talks about responsibility, this guy. If someone's on mainstream, main water, sorry, I'm losing my cool here. If someone's on the fluoridated mains in Auckland, they can't take responsibility for themselves and say, hey, I want to put a water tank in, without huge bureaucracy, huge legislation coming down on them. Because it's not in Metro Water's interest, because if everyone did that, they'd lose their billion-dollar contracts. You know, we're talking about responsibility. We can't be responsibility because government's trying to get into every corner of our lives. They're passing bills to put cameras in people's houses without them knowing. And if I rip the camera out, then they'll come after me and arrest me. And then this guy will say, you damaged government property. You're bad. You go to jail now. You're a bad New Zealander. I'm good. I pay my taxes to the foreign bankers. I'm good. These people just make my skin crawl.
Well, yeah.
And I try to ignore them. I just try to. I just...
You know why it is? Well, you know why it makes our skins crawl? It's because we actually care, you know? And I think it's kind of like, it's real funny, right? It's almost like people treat caring as a disability, you know? To care about the world is to have one leg kind of thing, you know? You're never going to get anywhere in the opinion of general scum. This is what really, really ticks me off. It's like, well, if you care about something, do something about it. That's how you distinguish between somebody who actually cares and somebody who doesn't give an F, you know? We actually care, Will, you and I. So we get out there, we do stuff, and every day is a new day to F with the new world order. But people like this, Mr. McLeod, or whatever the F his name is, F's sake, should shut the heck up and learn a little bit of something.
I don't want his children being poisoned.
I don't want his children being dumb as dirt
like him. I want them to grow up and understand the world around them, and let's help find make a better New Zealand, and let's help Australia make a better Australia, and so on and so forth. I mean, I want them to contribute in a real way. I want to be able to contribute. I want people to be unshackled to show how good they are, not be chained up and show how bad they are. You know what I mean? Not to have all the bad social exploits as a result of the frustrations of being pent up like animals and taxed and traced. And then that's how they demonize and go, oh, you can't trust your neighbor, but you can love the government. And we're just going to inject your kid at 6 weeks old and they're going to love it. You know?
Yeah.
And this is the sort of faith they have. Because Paul will be an atheist, but he's got so much faith in government. Oh, yeah. And it's so well documented and such good reasoning for it, I bet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and again, what happens here is that people kind of miss the core issues, you know, and well, you kind of go on about this a little bit, the banking system and how the government's kind of corrupt and they're incredibly efficient at getting everybody into debt. You know, these are the underlying, all right? If you're going to build a house, which is, you know, a stable community, stable country or whatever, you need to ensure that it has stable foundations. And if you have foundations that are made of fiat currency, see, hey, I can tell you something. Federal Reserve notes or New Zealand Reserve Bank notes do not have the same load-bearing capacity as concrete solid foundations. It's pretty straightforward. And particularly, if you're not even the one who owns them, and if you're the one renting the house instead of owning it, okay? How did the homeowner become the tenant all of a sudden? You know, didn't we own this effing country? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We're getting fired up and we'll be right back at GorillaMedia.co.nz.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, it's bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man.
Shut up, everywhere, man. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And, yeah, well, we're getting into a bit of a heated discussion here about the real problems in society. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it's a two-tone. You know, it takes two to tango, so to speak. You know, on the one hand, there's the evildoers, the globalists, the propagandists, the Operation Mockingbird shills and whatnot. You know, all the people that have inordinate amounts of influence, okay? There's those people. Now, they'll all face judgment in their own time because they're knowingly supporting a system that is evil. And some people may not be knowingly supporting it, but, you know, they're screwed anyway in terms of what I'm concerned. They will be the ones who are damned in the end. But the other side of it, and this is the worst part, I find, because it's just so sad, is the general populace, right? Now, they don't have to do anything in order to serve evil. That's the great thing about evil. You don't have to do jack in order to support it. All you have to do is nothing.
This is actually my point. The less power you give government over populations, the less it's able to empower itself through inaction. You see, if people are inactive or don't have anything to do with their community in an unregulated society or far less regulated society, then they don't empower anyone to anywhere near as a greater extent. And so that's why I'm against the idea of big government, because by default, some people are not going to want to participate or understand the complexities. And so therefore, you're always going to end up with these further downstream complications. And then you'll get the analysis of people like Paul McLeod. But then, you know, it's not about individuals and ripping on him. It's just that I read this letter and it just embodied so many lies into one letter and one persona that it blew my mind. And, something has to be said. Other people could come and rail on me, and that's fine. No one's perfect. They could say there's 11 dimensions and we're just a projection of ourselves and I don't really exist or something. You know, cool. I'm just saying with what we've got here and now, let's make the most of it and let's just break free of these 50-year-old arguments that it's beneficiaries that are the one and only problem with this country.
And that's an interesting point you bring up. Old arguments. You'd figure if an argument is so old, it would have been won sooner or later, but no. And people still keep believing in it. It's absolutely crazy. You know, I wonder at some point why does anybody vote Labour or Democrat or National or Republican or anything? Because demonstrably, even if you look at the last election or the election before that or so on and so forth down the chain, when the F have they ever fully supported the country? When have they supported fully the people? They don't support any of us at all and conceivably never have.
I support the idea of people voting on principle, but it's where the people get the principles of their own from that concerns me. The principles they take to the voting booth, you know, is what concerns me rather than the principles of the people they can vote for, because they're largely controlled. So, but it's the constituents of the population that I'm worried about, and they're the process they come to form the opinions and principles that they may or may not hold. That's what I'm worried about. because it's governing that goes on in between elections. It's the brainwashing that goes on that is the real unseen government.
Exactly. I mean, if you're supposed to make an informed choice, how in the heck do you make an informed choice in this day and age with so much disinformation, so much propaganda, so much government social engineering going on that it is you are basically a diamond in the rough or a single grain of sand on a beach.
I'll tell you how.
If you stand up for yourself and educate yourself using what we now have available to us, the internet, which is essentially the world's largest library where you can basically access any type of information you want. That is now the
possibility. It doesn't take any of that. It doesn't take... This is the thing, though. This is the thing I've come to realize. And look, there are lots of different ways to realizing the system's corrupt. But in the simplest things in life, you can see how wrong our system is. In the simplest things. If you go... And this is why they herd people into compact cities and put them in an artificial surrounding, and so they can't connect with a moral basis of reality. But if you go to a beach, if you go to a storm in the middle of the night down at the beach, and there's lightning going off and there's waves smashing, if you go out in the forest at night at 3 a.m. and you walk for as many kilometers and pitch black, you will start to attune. I'm not talking about something weird and cosmic here. I'm just saying you'll start to attune with the nature of reality and see how out of touch our governance is from the parameters of our reality. It might sound crazy to some, but you'll start to see that freedom is inbuilt in all of us and that our principles of morality and freedom and expression and creativity are built within all of us. They don't need to be learned. The opposite of what Zeitgeist teaches. They don't need to be learned. You don't need PhDs in baking a cake to bake a cake. We don't need all these pompous qualifications. They're a way of co-opting people into a certain corporate model. All you need to do is go out and experience the ragged edge of life. And that's why they herd people into compact cities and they limit people's experiences and they say, oh, you know, the only experience you need is taking out some girl to the movies or something. They narrow down the whole spectrum of reality because they want less for us and more for themselves.
Yep. Yep, if you can limit somebody's experiences, you can limit their creativity, you can limit their development, you can limit basically everything that threatens the establishment. And, you know, this is the reason why I get so ticked off with the quote-unquote establishment. It's because it's so arrogant as to refer to itself as an establishment, okay? It's not an establishment, it's emergent at best, you know? Whatever is the established status quo is in a state of constant flux. There is no be-all and end-all. This is the end of the road. This is how things are running forever and ever. Never happened before. Never will. Right? Now, I may be being self-defeatist when I say this, that it never will, but quite frankly, I like the idea of a dynamic equilibrium, balanced-out humanity, you know, because that gives me comfort. So that when crap stuff happens, it gives me the slight possibility that in the future it may change, but not change because somebody just decided. Oh well, you know, it just needs to change. You know, we want to vote for Barack H.O. Barry to save us. You know, change you can beg for. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real human consciousness shifting. I'm talking about actual change, which doesn't happen very often.
It's because people choose easy living. It's because it's easier to vote for someone who, oh, he looks like a nice man. He's saying nice things. Yeah, we need more welfare for the poor people. I don't care where that comes from. I'm sure it comes from loving Rothschilds, though. And, you know, it's just easy living. That's why they have baby formulas. Oh, we don't need breasts anymore. Breasts are just for men to look at. There's no lactating. What's that? That's dirty. Just the whole idea of easy living, taking people away. I mean, people need to throw themselves out there. They need to stop sheltering themselves. They need to go out and meet millionaires and go to their houses and see how they live and then go and sit on the street corner with a homeless man and eat a pie with them. And they need to live. They need to push themselves. I don't know. they need to take the insulation, the bubble wrapping off, and push themselves. This is what everyone should try and do daily. It's a firm belief of mine, but I can't enforce that. It's hard enough enforcing it myself. And then come to novel conclusions about the nature of the world you want to live in, and just look at the disparity there is. Just look at the disproportionate power and wealth, and just ask yourself for a minute. Just scratch your head and go, how did this come to be? Forget all the social boundaries. Forget all the names and left and right for a minute, and just look at it and go, how crazy is this? You know, and how did it get that way? And it's simple, and you'll be able to see it. It's so obvious. It got that way because we got lazy and some other people got deceptive and time took its toll on us.
And now we have to live under the reign of what we now call the pathocracy, the ruling insane.
It's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Will. And this is the thing about madness. It's not just something that you can prescribe a pill for and get copious amounts of profit while the patient dies.
We've got the mafia holding guns to our heads. You know, literally, this country has got a gun to it, and all the individuals who are sworn on the national debt have a gun to their heads, and it's going to be pulled one day unless we draw the line in the sand and do something about it. It's that simple. It's that simple. They're psychopathic murderers. They've murdered millions of people here, there, and everywhere across the decades. They're killers. They have mock human sacrifices every year. I mean, this can't be doubted. The people who rule the planet are psychopaths. What happens if you pave the way for them? You die. You get death and destruction. You get poisoned. I mean, it's that simple. How do you take power away from them? You stop cooperating with them. You stop voting for them. We take our countries back. We make a monetary system that serves us. It's real simple.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the interesting thing, isn't it, Will? Despite the fact that, you know, there are infinite complexities to the conspiracy field, and I think that this is probably the new science, the new social engineering, and it's basically a new industry that encompasses all other industries and makes them all obsolete. That's the conspiracy field in a nutshell to me, because it takes everything that we currently know to be true, or think we know to be true, and flips it totally on its head. And then basically that's the reason why a lot of people don't want to even get into it, because it means that, hey, I've been working my entire life to understand life itself, and now you're telling me I have to throw it out?
Do it. Do it. No strings attached. Do it.
What choice have you got? You know?
Be loyal to yourself. Be loyal to you know, what makes you you. Be loyal to your family. Be loyal to your friends. They have no loyalty to the system. Who cares if you worked at an insurance company for the last 38 years and they've raped and pillaged you? Who cares? Dump them.
They don't care about you. You know, because as soon as you become unprofitable to them, they'll fire you. All right? They don't care.
All your little office cubicles are going to be rubble in a few years' time. They're going to be rubble. And that's nothing to do with, you know, fringe lunatics like myself. They're going to be rubble because of the establishment you work for is bankrupting the world by design to reform the world as they see it under their little god and everything else.
And there
is no security in your job. There is no security anymore. Make what money you can, get out of there, get some land, secure your family, grow some food, defend yourselves, get out of PricewaterhouseCoopers, get out of ANZ Bank. Stop working for these trash. Defeat them.
Yeah.
Help set up the new system.
Absolutely. And the system needs you, okay? It needs you. You don't need the system, but it sure as hell needs you, okay?
That's why they
don't
offer you these
comply.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
why
they
get
travel
the road to hell.
The road to hell
is paved with bullion.
Oh, yeah. We'll give you a company car. We'll give you a timeshare place to go on vacations. Oh, we'll just treat you so well.
And in New Zealand,
we can legally give you
all the prostitutes you want on the company card.
Oh, yeah. Helen Clark made it legal now, so I don't have to have morals, and it's great. I love it.
It's the world's oldest profession. We've got to respect those people.
Well, they should have freedom, yeah, but you can't have freedom to grow a veggie garden. Oh, no. That's more immoral than prostitution, for sure.
Oh, man, frickin' heck, man. If you have tomatoes and lettuce, you must be a terrorist. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio, and we'll be right back after the break.
Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen,
social netball team
to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, modeled on Agenda 21, where Wednesday is sex day and every other day is celibacy day. Welcome back. You shouldn't be breeding. You should just be, you know, killing each other, eating GMO foods, drinking fluoridated water, and watching copious quantities of television. If there's one thing that you will regret when you die is that you did not watch American Idol enough. I implore you. Get
off the radio. Start watching American Idol. Brainwash yourself as hugely as conceivably possible, and you will be happy. That's right. You will be very, very happy. Because you'll be serving Satan.
You know, I've actually met people and know a couple of people who are wealthy and have told me pretty much their life story and the relations they've been through and the breakups and everything else. And that, you know, really, frankly, honestly, you know, swearing to God, it didn't make them happy one bit. And that it was eating away at their consciousness. The harder they worked and the more they had and, you know, without naming people, I mean, they were just literally, you could see, I mean, one particular friend in particular, you know, I could see he was telling me the honest truth. I don't care about that anymore. Still has a business, still makes a living, but he just doesn't care about it anymore. He's not going to let that rule his life, and I value that. Now, other people just go, oh, you know, just some rich, you know, SOB or something. Oh, you know, why are you friends with them? Because you can see with these people. You can tell an honest person. It's nothing to do with their income bracket. And it might take them a few years to learn it. And, hey, I haven't even been privileged enough to learn through that method. I've never had any money. But, you know, it shows you, doesn't it? It shows you that people can uncondition themselves.
Yeah, and I mean, just because you went to sleep and it was nice and warm and all of that kind of stuff doesn't mean you can't wake up again, doesn't mean that the sun ain't going to rise again. It doesn't mean that it's all doom and gloom. What you got to do is just wake up just open your eyes in the morning and force yourself out of bed, okay? It takes the same amount of effort to stop yourself from being brainwashed as well, okay? Some people choose to lay in bed for an extra hour, not get any extra sleep, and then their motor functions don't wake up properly, and then they're really unproductive for the rest of the day. Okay? I can't do that. I have to get up in the morning because I know for a fact that if I don't get up when I wake up, I'm not going to get much done during the day. Okay? It's pretty simple. I mean, and this guy, what was his name, down in Hamilton, McLeod, well, there's a prime example. You know, I mean, we're not as stupid as he is, but we operate under a similar ethic that we actually have to do something and take some sort of responsibility. I mean, that's about the only point of agreement we have. The rest of it, and we came to those conclusions through completely different paths. Okay, we came to those conclusions based upon our own research, our own understanding. He came to those conclusions, I would wager, because of the fact that he lived in a society that benefited those particular traits, and he was educated that those particular traits were the one. In other words, he was told and conditioned into believing them rather than coming to those conclusions himself, which is why he believes in all the other lies.
Well, I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't know anything about the guy other than what I've read, and I don't really like what I've read, but I do agree that people should have personal responsibility, which is why I'm against the socialist government. And a national government calling itself conservative, you know, increasing taxation, sales tax 15% on bread and milk, it's socialism, okay? And all for the benefactor of private banks. I mean, it's sick. It's a cruel joke. And then to sit down and expect me to listen to them going, oh, he's conservative, oh, he wants to stop domestic terrorism, pass an assertion surveillance bill, oh, he's such a good man. I mean, save me the rhetorical crap, you know? Please. But, you know, I do agree with this model of personal responsibility, and I do know that some people, yeah, they might like being poor and they might like collecting a benefit. And sure, that's something society has to work through. Sure. I don't believe in the catch-net system to start with. And then they left jump up and go, oh, what would you do then? What would you offer for all these people? Would you let them die in the streets? I said no.
Oh, God, you just struck a chord, man. You just struck a chord with me right there. This is the thing that happens when you get into an argument with these people, and they always take it to the most illogical extreme in order to disprove what you're saying. You know, like, for example, oh, the socialism's a bad thing. Well, what if you had and private ownership's a good thing? Well, what if you had one bottle of water and a woman came up to you and it was a big drought and there was no water around or anything like that, and you only had one bottle and this woman came up to you with a baby that was dying of thirst? What would you do? Sell it to her for the highest bidder or keep it for yourself? And I say, well, I would actually give the baby and the mother some water because they both need it a tad bit more than I do at that particular point. And I would do that without asking any money of them. Thank you very much, because I'm actually a person of conscience who believes in private property. There are people that lack
conscience. Yeah, because that's the faith in humanity. That's the faith in humanity, and that's good, because we'd rather have faith in humanity than faith in big government, and that's the bottom line. Big government and big corporations are corrupted. They're corruptible because they're run by secret societies. We get rid of the parasites in society, we can have more for the rest of us, we can take away a lot of the social tensions, and we can be better people with each other, and we don't need these catch nets. Government can't provide anything that the people can't. Government's an inefficiency. If government provides healthcare and jobs and water and food and everything else, then people can too without them, because government's not 100% efficient. Government's not even 5% efficient. We'll know the truth. So that's the bottom line. Why do we operate with these middlemen, slimy greaseballs?
Oh. Don't tolerate slimy grease, ladies and gentlemen. You should get yourself some cleaning products. Now, these aren't the same kind of cleaning products that you can swallow and poison yourself to death with. They're the kind of cleaning products for your brain. Wash out those synapses. Scrub that brain with that soapy propaganda. The soapy propaganda of the Vinnie Eastwood show. That's right. We're trying to brainwash you into thinking that you are capable, intelligent, human people that are capable of making a change in this world that is real and uncontrolled by filthy, disgusting scum that currently run the place. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show. And we'll be back tomorrow.